The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, you will live for a very long time as an ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" In the extreme case, you could die and find yourself fully conscious in the grave with your corpse, unable to move forever and ever and ever. Do you want that? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such people, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. So wherever you are between those two extremes, this program is for you. Say again, the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. He wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven, with great benefits, with great prestige, with great authority, as his personal confidant and friend. Why would you turn that down? Today we continue with the Virgin's Covenant, part 2, which is critical to understanding sex, marriage, adultery, and divorce. All of this in the context that the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Overview of today's program. The broadcast looks at the Virgin's Covenant as being critical to understanding sex, marriage, adultery, and divorce. We ask about love and discover that it is a spiritual force. We learn that the one flesh bond is the key component of how man-woman relationships work. We speak about the 7 days of consummation and how powerful they are. We talk about choosing a partner and marrying and discuss some considerations. We note that the word cleave in Genesis means cut into and not adhere, and that a woman has a cleft into which the man cleaves or cuts. We note that the silence of the church with regard to virginity is a major issue. We look at the various forms of spiritual interaction between a man and a woman in sexual union. We talk about soul ties. We look at sexual chemistry. We discuss spirit-to-spirit adhesion. And we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for over 25 years, currently a business executive and consultant in the United Kingdom. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March in 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Questions from last week's program. Number one, Grace asked, did you marry the woman you had an affair with? No, sadly I didn't. At the time, I believe she was married to another man and was forbidden. Subsequently, I discovered that for various reasons, she had in fact been in father's sight. She would have been free to marry me and I would have been free to marry her. My marriage was corrupt. My so-called wife was actually had lost her virginity to another man, and this woman had been raped by the man who took her virginity, and so she was free to get a divorce. I only learned that many years later. We were deeply in love, and it's a source of regret to me that that never happened. Jasper asks, did you have a really bad time of it before coming to terms with what you were doing? Jasper, yes. The few weeks before I ended up in that hotel room were really rough when I discovered I was deeply in love with this woman. I hadn't realized it before. And it then took me quite a bit of time and effort and counseling to come to terms with my new situation. And if Father hadn't spoken to me when he did, I don't think I ever would have come to terms with it. Kyle asks, can the hymen be broken without having sex? And Francis answers, yes, it can be broken in other ways. Yes, certainly. If a young woman engages in strenuous physical exercise, uses a vibrator, uses a tampon, the hymen can be broken without having sex. If we really understood the importance of the hymen, we would treasure it and we would look after it a lot more than is done in this present generation. Lance asks, what is a truly divorced woman? Lance, a truly divorced woman is a woman who has lost her virginity to a man and something has happened that the court of heaven grants her a divorce from that man. Now, this could be in the one example we looked at last week where a woman lost her virginity, lost touch with a man, got involved with other men, and now wants to clean up her act and is unable to contact the man who took her virginity, or the man who took her virginity is not prepared to take his responsibility towards her. Under such circumstances, the Almighty will grant divorce. If there's breach of covenant, if a man treats his wife very, very badly, there's a point at which Father will grant her a divorce. If a woman is joined to an unbelieving man, Father will expect her to get divorced. So when any of those circumstances occur, a woman can get a divorce in the court of heaven by special supplication. Bryce asks, what if you do all of this debauchery before you turn to the Father? Bryce, that kind of sounds like you saying, well, I'd rather just do all this stuff first, and then once I've had enough of it, then I'll turn to Father. I'm not sure if that's what you're saying. Sorry, forgive me if it's not. Folks, that question epitomizes a serious misunderstanding. Father created sex to be good and enjoyable. Father created sex to be absolutely wonderful, to have a fabulous sex life with your life partners, not with whoever you meet on the street today. That's all. You can have fabulous sex with somebody you love and somebody you committed to for the rest of your life. Mari asks, would you define the betrayal you were speaking of? Betrayal is any breach of covenant. So I spoke about betrayal earlier, and what I would say to you is that I had a situation, as an example, where I was married to a woman. We'd agreed, she was American, we'd agreed that she would sponsor me to go to the United States. Father had told me he wanted me to go to the United States. I'd made all sorts of arrangements to go to the United States, been to the embassy, got the application forms, etc. And then suddenly she decided she wasn't going to sponsor me. And the bottom dropped out of my world. I was absolutely devastated. State of shock for several days, intense depression for several days. And that's betrayal. Betrayal is breaking your word to somebody in some serious way. Hetty asks, how can you make the adjustments in these agreements? By prayer. Hetty, if you go back 3 or 4 months, there's a series of broadcasts on 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty. A lot of guidance there. Also available on the website, 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty. There's a main web page on that. Mari asks, do you have to let the man know the sin will be on him? Mari, yes. If you're approaching a man who took your virginity and you're asking him to take you back, you need to let him know that if he doesn't take you back, the sin will be on him, and he will be judged at the end of his life. And if he's a believer, he will spend time in hell. If he's an unbeliever, it's immaterial. It's not of any it has no impact on him. Francis asked, and so just to elaborate, if he's an unbeliever, get divorced. You don't have to go back to a man who took your virginity if he's an unbeliever. Francis, how do you know the Father has forgiven you? Francis, by faith, when you pray those prayers, when you take the blood, the bread and the wine, and you ask for forgiveness in the name of Yeshua, Father will give it to you. It's a legal principle. Leslie asks, is anyone really that good to follow at all? Leslie, no. We all do our best. Some try harder than others, but it's certainly there for us. So coming back to tonight's program, the Virgin's Covenant is critical to understanding sex, marriage, adultery, and divorce. To recap, one of the most difficult to explain human organs is the hymen. The membrane that partially seals the entrance to the vagina of a girl or young woman whose vagina has never been penetrated. It appears to serve no useful purpose. In the day-to-day existence of someone who does not believe in the Creator and does not seek to live life according to his commandments, this membrane certainly serves no useful purpose. However, once one understands its real purpose, it becomes apparent that the hymen is a critically important organ in the plans of the Creator for men and women. The hymen evidences that the woman has never engaged in sexual intercourse, and it is therefore spiritually safe for a man to join himself to her. If she has already joined herself to another man and she now joins herself to a further man, both she and the new man are committing adultery, and if they are believers, they will both face a period in the place of correction known as hell after they die. So what about love, you ask? Well, the reason sexual intercourse is called making love is because if a man and woman make love to one another, especially in a caring, loving manner, a spiritual force that we know as love will come into existence. This spiritual force is designed to hold man and woman together and will never die, but it can be murdered through continual strife, rebellion, violence, treachery, adultery, etc. You do not enter into union because you love. You love because you are in union. Love should not be confused with lust. So care for and cherish one another. Make love regularly, considerately, and skillfully, and the risk of falling in love with someone else will be greatly reduced. Folks, as I said a short while ago in response to one of the questions, Father intended sex to be a beautiful, fabulous, powerful, fantastic part of being human. He created us to have fabulous sexual relationships in our covenant lifetime relationship. Let's talk about the one flesh bond as the key component of all this. Something else impacts the situation of man and woman. When a man or woman reaches a sexual climax or orgasm, a portion of their spirit is ejected from the vagina in the woman and the penis in the man. In both cases, the sexual organs are at the end of a spiritual duct that connects the sexual organs to the spiritual heart, the core, the center of the man and the woman. Thus, when a man ejaculates in the vagina of a woman, a portion of his spirit flows into her and up the duct in her spirit to attach to her spiritual heart. When she orgasms over his penis, a portion of her spirit flows down over his penis and up the corresponding duct to attach to his spiritual heart. This is the one flesh bond. And this is the reason why adultery is an abomination in the sight of Yah. It is spiritual chaos with everyone joined to everyone else. Folks, the one flesh bond is so powerful, so beautiful. If you've really ever experienced a powerful sexual relationship, and this works whether you're a believer or not, it's a spiritual physical reality of man and woman. So it doesn't matter if somebody who's had an extramarital affair, as in the example that I gave myself earlier, you will get to a point where there is a massive one flesh bond. You will be able to read each other's minds. You will speak with one voice. It's extremely powerful. These spiritual ties do not break. They're like infinitely elastic strands that join the man to the woman. The more frequently and more passionately the man and woman make love, the stronger this bond becomes, such that they begin to know each other's thoughts and to be able to communicate without words, even if they're separated by half the world. The one flesh bond, together with the love bond and the covenant terms, are all designed to ensure that the union succeeds, provided you both adhere to the terms of the covenant. If you fight and argue, the bond will get weaker. If you break trust, if you betray, the bond will get weaker. A weaker bond is formed in the event of male ejaculation in the mouth, vulva, or anus of the woman, and an even weaker bond is formed in the event of ejaculation elsewhere on the woman's body. Likewise, if the woman orgasms in contact with the man other than with his penis in her vagina, e.g. on his hand, a weaker bond is formed. When a man and a woman who are already one masturbate apart from one another, the spiritual ejaculate will flow down the existing tie. Note that the same one flesh bond is formed in casual and adulterous sex, sex with prostitutes, etc. Even masturbation in phone sex with someone who's not in union, or looking intensely at pictures, or fantasizing about someone, will give rise to a one flesh bond of limited intensity. The bottom line, only have sex with your life partner or partners. Once the bond has been formed, very specific prayers under very specific circumstances are required to break it, and it can only be broken under those circumstances. Otherwise, it is unbreakable. So when the Bible says, what Yah has joined together, let not man put asunder, it actually means man is unable to put asunder. I will discuss this in due course. Folks, this is a huge subject. If you understand the one flesh bond, you may well find that you understand things in your life that have never really made sense. So if you had a good sexual relationship with someone and then broke up with them because for whatever reason you grew apart or didn't like each other, and you've done that several times in your life, you will find yourself being pulled back to all of those other people from time to time. And also your present relationship, even if it is from Yah, will be corrupted by this because you're joined to all these other people. I will talk probably next week or the week after on what you do in order to cut these ties and to clean up your spiritual situation. If you are having problems in your relationship, I really encourage you to listen to last week's program, listen to this week's program, listen to next week's program, because there's a strong possibility you will find the answer to what's causing your problems in this. If you've had multiple sexual relationships, it's quite a job to clean up and sort things out so that you can have a good, solid lifetime relationship with a life partner. Let's talk about the 7 days of consummation. There is a spiritual window of 7 days, seven being the number of completion and perfection, from the moment that the covenant is first consummated, either by the shedding of blood with a virgin, or male ejaculation in the vagina in the case of a truly divorced woman, or a virgin who's lost her hymen. During this window, the couple should spend all their time together, make love as frequently as possible, and build their relationship in a caring and loving manner. A union based on such a foundation will be very strong and much more likely to last for life. A one-night stand or quickie has very little probability of success, and once the covenant has been consummated and the 7 days have elapsed, you will never again have that same opportunity to build a strong foundation. This is directly analogous to the 7 days of grace that follow a person deciding to believe in the Almighty Creator for the first time. There is something in the spirit realm that opens up at the moment of consummation. And if you apply all the cleansing rituals, etc., in the seven steps teachings and things that I'm going to talk about in the remainder of this program over the next few weeks, there is a huge amount that you can do to get a new relationship on an absolutely solid footing. It's so important to understand that the reason marriage is a mess is that we don't understand how it was intended to be from the beginning. Father intended us to enter into life covenants that lasted for life. Let's talk about choosing a partner and marrying. It's too late for most, probably everyone listening to this program. You're probably already in a relationship, or you have at the very least lost your virginity years ago. It's not too late for your children. I've concluded that the old-fashioned approach of parents choosing partners for their children is the way to go, but not in the rough fashion that some have practiced it. Establish that the proposed couple come from the same background, have the same values and religious beliefs and moral standards. Agree to this form of introduction. Agree the covenant terms based on what is set out above. Have a party and consummate the union, or preferably consummate the union and then a week later have a party. Whatever you do, do not let the couple get even vaguely drunk before they consummate. The important thing is the consummation, not the party. Many years ago, an Orthodox Jewish friend shared with me, and we talked about some of these things, and he shared with me that in the Orthodox community that he belonged to, although it was done very surreptitiously and very quietly, the way they worked was that the parents of a young man and young woman in their late teens would approach one another and say, I think my girl is a good match for your boy. I think my boy is a good match for your girl. And they would discuss it. And if they felt that that was the case, being that they were all in the same community, all in the same synagogue, all in in relationship, they would then go and canvass their children. And if the children were receptive, they would arrange a meeting between the boy and the girl with a chaperone, where they would sit and talk for a couple of hours and learn a bit about each other. At the end of that, they would be expected to make a yes-no decision. Either that this is somebody that I think I can live with, or no, it's not. If they said yes, then a week later they would have a ceremony, the whole Jewish ceremony with the canopy and everything. They would consummate. They would get the evidence of virginity, which is a cloth with the blood of the virginity, and they would celebrate that consummation, and they would live happily ever after, because they then would spend time consummating properly. Folks, that's the way it's intended to be. So for coming back to the point I was on earlier, if you're going to have a party, rather have the party after consummation, at the end of the week. Having a party before, as far as I'm concerned, is art, unless you do it in a very respectful fashion. If the man and woman are mature and previously married, then a sober discussion of what they stand for, what they want, and who they are, and formal agreement of covenant terms is vital before consummation in the form of ejaculation by the man in the vagina of the woman. Up to that point, there is no covenant, although a betrothal bond will come into existence with male ejaculation in the mouth, vulva, or anus, and that is already creating a level of lock-in. Wedding ceremonies, for the most part, because they deny or ignore virginity and put a pastor or priest or law officer in the office of a pagan priest, are at some level pagan and cursed. So be very careful who officiates and what they say and what you say. Vows after consummation are fraudulent and to be avoided unless you recite exactly what you previously agreed and you declare that this is what you are doing. Most forms of tribal or traditional weddings, and those for many people groups, are totally pagan and should, if at all possible, be avoided totally. If not, be very prescriptive about what is said and done. Better to offend your relatives than to curse your union. But honor your father and mother, so you're commanded to honor your father and mother, so it's not necessarily that easy. Ask nicely to be released from a traditional ceremony and just have a party. Overall, for a mature couple, it's better to hide away at home for a week and have a really solid consummation, and then invite the family for a party later. And if you want or need the full legal picture, arrange a form of wedding which is explicitly a blessing for what has already happened, in order to fulfill the legal requirements for the woman to gain the man's name or for other goals. In conclusion, to this particular piece of teaching, there is considerable complexity with regard to covenant union between men and women that needs to be understood in order to have a sustainable and successful lifetime covenant union. There's much more that I hope to discuss on this program. In August 2012, I wrote an article, "Cleave is Not Adhere." One of the most obviously false teachings in the Christian community is that the word cleave in Genesis, where it is written, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his woman," is that the word cleave means adhere or stick or similar. No, cleave means to part or cut. A gemstone may have a plane of cleavage such that if we strike a sharp blow to a sharp instrument placed on that plane, the gemstone will split open. Women have a cleavage, a cleft between their breasts. Butchers use meat cleavers, large cutting blades that they use to cleave or cut the meat into portions. How then does the word cleave mean it here? But you will find many religious marriage books that suggest that that verse in Genesis means that the man will adhere to his woman. So it means that here, because many religious groups have lost sight of the true meaning, and the true meaning nullifies man's teachings, the bulk of marriage practices either explicitly ignore virginity or go beyond that. Folks, if you're going into a marriage ceremony and you're going to pronounce a man and woman to be husband and wife, and she's not a virgin, and her virginity has not been restored by the appropriate prayers and petition to the court of heaven, you are condoning and condemning them to adultery, and both of them and the officiating priest or pastor or whatever will end up in front of the judgment seat and be sent to hell for a season to pay the price of their sin. Coming back to adhere and cleave, a woman has another cleft. It is between her legs and is obviously a cleft. That cleft has the outward appearance of a wound cut with a knife or cleaver. And when that cleft is first penetrated, that is cleaved, blood is shed. That organ exactly replicates the covenant act of splitting open the covenant animal and walking in the blood that signifies the formation of covenant in terms of Yah's original practices with regard to covenant observance. And this signifies that there is a death penalty. The blood signifies that there is a death penalty for breaking covenant. Now, Father has extended grace to a large extent there, so people who've done this in ignorance will not necessarily die, but it can happen. I know of a situation where a woman thought she was divorced, wasn't divorced, had sex with another man, and a few weeks later died a horrible death. Inherently, this means that a blood covenant is cut between a man who cleaves into a woman with the shedding of blood, and therefore sexual intercourse always was and always will be the act of cutting covenant, and repeated intercourse is a rehearsal of the act of cutting covenant. Remember that the semen that is ejaculated by the man contains salt, so every time you have intercourse, a salt covenant is reinstated. And secondly, the semen contains all the elements of blood, so that when the egg is fertilized and a human being comes into existence, blood is part of what comes into existence. So the semen contains blood. So a blood covenant is also formed through the act of sexual ejaculation of the man in the woman. The silence of the church and most groups on the sanctity and importance of virginity is compounded by verbiage that associates cleave with adhere, which is necessary because human beings lie about virginity and pretend that the pastor or priest has some authority to pronounce on a covenant union. The only union that counts is the covenant union that comes into existence through the sexual act, consummation. Sexual intercourse is a sacred covenant act, and it should be treated as such. Yes, it can give great pleasure, but foremost, it is a covenant act. Labeling it adhere or stick to is absolutely not valid. In conclusion on this topic, there is great wrong teaching regarding the verse in Genesis which speaks of a man cleaving to his woman. This relates to the covenant act of sexual intercourse and not adhesion between the man and woman. There's great error in teachings relating to this act, specifically teachings that nullify the importance of virginity. As I said earlier, sex is intended to be intensely pleasurable. It can be totally uninhibited within your covenant relationship. The problem we have is that so much of church and other religious teaching decries the joy of sex within the relationship, and people think that it's only the unbelievers, the people who don't serve Yah, who have enjoyable sex. Nothing could be farther from the truth. In June 2012, I wrote another article, The Spiritual Interaction Between Man and Woman in Sexual Union, brackets, husband and wife in marriage. Many people, believing people, regard sexual intercourse as carnal and physical, when it is, in fact, the most spiritual act a man or woman can enter into, with exception of the act of faith required to believe in the Almighty and his, accept his spirit to dwell within us. And the two are directly parallel. The act of sexual intercourse, of sexual consummation, is a direct mirror of what happens when we believe and we are filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. He gave us sex to better understand how we relate to Him. This teaching outlines the main aspects of the spiritual forces that come into play as a consequence of a sexual union between a man and a woman. Note that these same forces will come into play in the event of a sexual union between two men or two women, or between multiple men and or multiple women, and most of them will come into effect in the event of sexual union between an animal and a human as well. Because of these factors, promiscuous sex is an abomination. Promiscuous sex will mess you up spiritually in ways you can't even begin to imagine. You can't truly serve Father and be sexually promiscuous at the same time. It's just going to be a mess. And the fact that the majority of people on this earth have had multiple sexual partners with multiple sexual partners with multiple sexual partners means that there is just a complete lack of understanding of what we're talking about tonight. Where such union takes place as a consequence of sin, or the relationship has broken down to the point of divorce sanctioned in the court of heaven, all of these aspects that I'm going to talk about now need to be dealt with in order to fully cut ties. This will be discussed in a subsequent broadcast. For the purposes of this broadcast, I will restrict discussion to the sexual union of one man with one woman. The other situations follow the same pattern. These factors are the same whether in the case of casual sex, one-night stand or prostitute, or a long-term relationship, and whether there is a formal covenant, marriage union or not. Note that in the sight of the Almighty, human marriage ceremonies have no relevance if they contradict the verdict of the Court of Heaven. A marriage with a woman who is not free to marry in the sight of Almighty is still adultery and will result in time in the lake of fire and brimstone in hell, irrespective of how nice the ceremony was or how anointed the marriage officer is considered to be. The marriage ceremony is fundamentally a pagan rite that has no validity in the sight of Yah, although the forces of darkness will turn such a ceremony to their advantage because the vows are binding. Spiritual components that come into being in a sexual union between a man and a woman are discussed in the sections that follow. Folks, the more you narrow this down to your covenant relationship, the more you will come to understand how powerful it is. And I would suggest to you that if you have never been in a fully sanctified, set apart, cleansed covenant relationship with a member of the opposite sex, you will not be able to understand what I'm talking about. Sorry, I don't mean to be rude, just years of experience understanding these things. So one of the first things that comes about is soul ties or friendship ties and memories. Immediately a man and woman start getting to know one another, they will start to form soul ties or friendship ties. These have a spiritual dimension and create a spiritual link that can become very strong. Folks, please note the point that I made. If two men do this, the same thing will happen. If two women do it, the same thing will happen. If 10 women and 10 men do it, the same thing will happen. But if they're all mixed up and muddled up and jumbled up, it will be a huge spiritual mess, big bowl of spiritual spaghetti. These ties form between any two human beings as they get to know each other, and they get stronger the greater the friendship. It is written that David loved Jonathan as his own soul, 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. Associated with the ties of friendship, we start to form memories, whether good or bad. Pleasant soul ties and memories will draw a man and woman towards one another, and therefore care must be exercised when a man and woman associate with one another, where consummation of the action attraction is not permitted, as in the case of a man and woman who work together, where she is married to another man or he is married to a woman who is not prepared to share her man. Folks, this is so important. Part of understanding these things is about boundaries. There is a limit to how close you should get to other people, where that could give rise to future problems. It is entirely possible for a man and woman to work together closely for a long time and eventually fall in love and enter into a sexual relationship. That's great. That's the way it should be if they're free to marry. If not, it's a problem. You need to exercise self-discipline. You need to exercise restraint. And if you get a fix on what it looks like to go to hell, that should help you. The second point is sexual attraction, desire, chemistry. Sexual attraction and desire develop between a man and woman the moment they consider the possibility of sexual contact with one another and do not place that desire under strict control. This chemistry is designed to hold a man and woman in covenant union together over time and to strengthen the one flesh bond. But it also forms easily when there are friendship ties, for example in the workplace, and must therefore be carefully managed. It is entirely possible for a man and woman to meet and develop strong sexual attraction and at first meeting and consummate the same day. That does not mean it is the right thing to do. If they're both free to enter into covenant and they agree upfront what the terms of that covenant are, there's no reason why they can't do it. I don't think it's something that I would recommend. It's not something that I would recommend. But it's able to happen. And if you are not in a position to enter into covenant, don't go there. Exercise restraint. Just because you feel like it, don't, doesn't mean you have to do it. Just tie a ribbon around it and put it away. Keep your distance. Hold yourself back. There is a place for self-discipline. Then we get spirit-to-spirit adhesion. Intense body-to-body contact, as in heavy embraces, cuddling, French kissing, open mouth on open mouth, etc., can give rise to spirit-to-spirit adhesion that leaves ties in place that remain even after the relationship has ended until they're cut off. So if you go around cuddling and kissing and kerfuffling and what have you with numerous other people, it's messing with your spirit. You're picking up little fragments of other people's spirit that you somehow connected to. If you can try and imagine this, that every time you French kiss somebody, there's a little bit of a tie that happens. And imagine yourself walking around with all these little dribbles of spiritual ties. It's kind of gross, actually, when you get the picture. I hope you're beginning to understand, and we'll go into more of this in the next broadcast, but there's a huge amount built into us to make it possible for us to have really powerful, really strong, really enduring, really sustainable life relationships, life partnerships. Passionate lovemaking, considerate, caring, tender. Man covering the woman, protecting her. Woman covering the man's back, protecting him. Working together, preferably in the workplace, their own business, can be so powerful. So we're running out of time, and I'd like to just challenge you right now and ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator right now, 21st of February, 2020. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? And what that would look like, I have a selection of worship songs that are on the website for download if you want them. Look at the recommended worship tab. I have earphones on, and when I'm sitting at my desk working, I listen to worship songs. When I'm on the train, I listen to worship songs. When I'm walking, even around the office, between talking to people. I'm sure people think I'm a bit nuts because I'm constantly taking the earphone out of my ear and putting it back in as soon as I finish talking to people, but I don't care. I want to think about Father at every possible opportunity. I want Him to know I'm thinking about Him. I want to say things to Him that are valuable to Him. Do you count Him your friend? Do you go to Him as a friend? Do you ask His advice? Do you care what He thinks? And then the big one, have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? Probably not, because there are not a lot of friends on the planet today, but that's what you should be aiming for. That is the goal. That's why we're here. If you're not doing these things, you are failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Five key documents on the main menu. They're all main menu web pages. Also, if you hover over the home link in the top left-hand corner, you'll find these documents. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. A really, really important document. So much you can learn from that. So much you can put into practice, clean up your life, deal with all the things we're talking about. Recommended worship, songs that are strongly recommended. I spoke about them a minute ago. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. The broadcast a couple of weeks ago addressed this. The name of Yah throughout Hebrew history. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Really important. All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, all one word. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Folks, all of the things that we're talking about, all the different facets of what we've been talking about for a year and a half, are all elements of cleaning up one's act, cleaning up one's life. And getting closer to Father. I can't stress enough, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your age, your sex, your religion, your tribe, your nation, your skin color, your height, your level of education, your level of wealth, where you live in the world. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, desires a deep personal relationship with you, starting right now. I urge you to get on your knees and ask Him to help you. Good night. Father, I